choir. Makes me think of something Billy Graham wrote many years ago. He said, "What the world needs isn't more Christianity. What the world needs is more real Christians." And a lot of people have never seen one. This morning, yes, we do want to talk about moms. And let's start today with our responsive reading. Now, most of my note things have blanks, but you'll note today's Mother's Day. There are no blanks on this sermon note thing today. I have included extra passages there in case you want to read a little more about some of these women we're going to talk about today. But let's stand in honor of God's Word. I'll read what's in the light print. I'll ask you to read what's in the dark print. And I'll join you on that final verse. And I believe this is also up on the screen. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies.
She sets out her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task.
She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come.
She speaks with wisdom and faithful instructions on her own.
Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for our mothers today, and we thank you for all the godly mothers that have made this community, this church, and our own lives what they are today. We thank you for all the faithful mothers who labor today in their homes and who are seeking to be a godly example to their children, who are seeking to live what they believe in a world that largely does not believe. And Lord, we just pray today for your blessing on our mothers. We pray that your blessing will be poured out on them. We pray that you will give them extra measures and quantities of strength and of your grace, and that it may just flow abundantly through them to their families and to their children and grandchildren. And we pray that the blessings that our moms who have already passed on to be with you, that have now been extended to us, will continue now into future generations. And that when Jesus comes, there will still be a generation of believing people serving you, loving you, worshiping you, rejoicing in you because of the seeds that were sown by those who went before us. Thank you for each and every day. And thank you for life, and thank you for the part of life that you allow us to be a part of, because these things enrich us, Lord. They were designed by you, and when they are practiced and done in the way that you design, they are of the greatest blessings that we experience on this earth. But nothing can compare to your gift to all of us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who brought redemption to everything, including motherhood and the family. Now bless your word as we share it together, we pray, and just speak to us through it and use it in us and through us according to your will. For these things we ask for the sake and in the name of Christ our Lord, our Redeemer and our King. In his name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Before I get into the actual message this morning, there's something here that a young woman brought into the exercise room over at Chesapeake Healthcare the other day, and she had made a copy of it for Mel Stylings, and he showed it to me, and I was looking over it, and I said, you know, I see a lot of things like this, but I said, this is so good. I said, I wouldn't mind reading a little bit of this in the pulpit Sunday morning. And the young lady therapist that had brought it in had another copy, and she said, here, have it. So I'm not going to read every single one, but these are just, and some, I'm sure some of you have already heard this, but I just thought it was great. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. That somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. That somebody never took a 3-year-old shopping. Somebody said being a mother is boring. That somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. Somebody said, if you're a good mother, your child will turn out good. That somebody thinks a child comes with directions and a guarantee. Somebody said, good mothers never raise their voices. That somebody never came out the back door just in time to see your child hit a golf ball through the neighbor's kitchen window. Somebody said, a mother can find all the answers to her child rearing questions in the books. That somebody never had a child stuff beans up his nose or his ears. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. That somebody never watched her baby get on the bus for the first day of kindergarten or on a plane headed for military boot camp. Somebody said a mother can stop worrying after her child gets married. That somebody doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or daughter-in-law to a mother's heartstrings. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. That somebody never had grandchildren. Somebody said, your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. That somebody was never a mother. We want to talk today just for a few minutes about a few moms from the Bible. One thing I love about the Bible is that it's not just a whole bunch of rules and instructions and precepts. There are rules, there are instructions, and there are precepts. But it is fleshed out in real flesh and blood people. And I find so much of the encouragement and even understanding of how God works in us just by reading about the characters in the Bible. And I believe this is true of mothers as well. This is something that we, just by reading these people, we often, I don't know why, I think we just kind of don't realize they're real people just like us, just like us. And then as we read the things they went through and everything, we can understand a little bit more about our own situation. So whether it's fatherhood, motherhood, business, or whatever it may be, we can learn an awful lot just by what we read about people. Now, I've given you a whole bunch of texts here that you can look up and read about these mothers. But I've chosen five, and there are many more mothers of distinction in the Bible. But I've chosen five today: Eve, Sarah, Jochebed, Hannah, and Mary. And I noticed three common denominators as I looked at the lives of these three mothers. There isn't one public figure among them. There isn't one lady on this list that ever held public office or that was a head of state or that was really in what we would call the public eye. All five of these women are of note, particularly because they became mothers. In other words, if they had not become mothers, they probably wouldn't have been written about, and we probably wouldn't be talking about them today. And all five of these mothers valued motherhood and considered it their crowning achievement and considered motherhood the greatest blessing in their lives. Those three common denominators I saw as I looked at the lives of these mothers. And I do not believe it is an overstatement to say that all five of these women have directly and significantly impacted the lives of everybody present here today. You say, how so? Suppose there had never been a Cain or an Abel or a Seth. Suppose there had never been an Isaac. Suppose there had never been a Moses. Suppose there had never been a Samuel. And particularly, suppose there had never been a Jesus of Nazareth. How different would your life be today? Think about that. So these women were an integral part of God's plan, and motherhood was right at the heart of what God had in mind for these women. So let's talk about them just briefly. These are just my own thoughts on some of these ladies. Eve, the original mom. The one who, yes, allowed the enemy to trick her and who reached forth and took of the fruit and then gave her husband to eat and then said, the serpent deceived me. This one. But she became a mother. And Adam named her Eve because it says she's the mother of all living, because Eve is related to a Hebrew word that means living. She's the mother of all living. All of us are descended from this woman. And it occurred to me as I thought about her this week, do you realize that Eve, of all the mothers that have lived in all of history, that Eve is the only mother that ever lived that knew firsthand what perfection was like? That she knew what it was to live in a place where every need was met, where there was no fears, where there were no worries, where there was no anxiety. She knew it because she had lived it. And then after the sin and after the curse, she and Adam are thrown out of the garden. They are actually blocked from going back. And the earth begins to bring forth weeds, and the animals turn hostile, and it's a whole different environment. And as part of her punishment, she is told, I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing and in childrearing. So that I have to think that every time that Eve gave birth, and she gave birth many times because it says after Seth, and Adam lived this many more years and begat sons and daughters. We have no idea how many they had. And then in the back of her mind, each time she's thinking, if I just had not taken of the fruit, we would still be in the garden. And if I had just not taken of the fruit, I would not be experiencing the pain I'm going through right now in bearing this child. And then later, she not only that wasn't all of it. Later, she hears the news, Cain has killed Abel. Your son Abel is dead. And so that when God had said, do not eat of the fruit of the tree, because in the day that you eat of it, you will die. The first to die is her son, not her. And what can we learn of this? That in motherhood are the extremes of joy and sorrow and of the significance of life. No man can relate to it. I cannot relate to it. The joy that a mother feels as she first cradles that precious gift of life in her arms. And I get the opportunity to see that from time to time. There cannot be another joy like that. And yet the sorrow of seeing a child going astray, seeing a child hurt, seeing a child injured, seeing a child sick, or losing a child. And there is no sorrow like that. And so the extremes of joy and sorrow are all wrapped up in motherhood. But I have good news for you today, and that is that motherhood, just as all else, has been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, mothers have been redeemed back to God and brought back into fellowship and proper relationship with Him. And they have been given a word to guide them. And they have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit in order to carry forth God's plan for them. And so they can now exercise motherhood, not just in the natural, not just in the natural love of the mom for the child and the bonding and all of that, but can do their mothering with purpose because they know that because they've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and because they belong to Jesus and because they can be an example of Him and a reflection of Him and train their children in His ways, that what they are doing is not only for today, but for eternity. Can I hear an amen? And what Eve did, Jesus undid. We always talk about how Jesus undid what Adam did. He undid what Eve did as well. Then we come down, we jump down a few generations. Sarah, Abraham's wife, the lady that thought she would never be a mother. In fact, she was sure she would never be a mother. Because by the time the Lord decided that it was time for her to be a mother, she was way past the age of bearing children. And even in her younger years, when she was in her prime and in her best health, she had never been able to have children. And what a surprise when one day the Lord says, by the way, Abraham, about this time next year, your wife, Sarah, she's going to have a baby. And by the way, I'm changing her name. Her name is Sarai, but I'm changing her name to Sarah. Now, if you take the time to read about Sarah, we don't know a whole lot about her, but I think she was kind of the bossy type. The Hebrew word for leader or chief or prince is Sar, S-A-R. Sarai and Sarah both come from that word. But Sarai, her original name, means dominative. And Sarah means noblewoman or princess. How many know that just because somebody acts like a prima donna, it doesn't really make them a real princess? And so, Sarai, the dominative one, becomes Sarah, the noble woman and the princess, through becoming a mother. And after becoming a mother at age 90, she's just giggling all the time. Hallelujah. And so motherhood can change you. I've seen motherhood change a lot of young women who maybe were considered kind of wild in their younger days or this or that or the other. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, the baby comes, and now they're all for that child. How many have witnessed that phenomenon? Motherhood is a wonderful thing, and it's a gift from God. But I tell you what, this was no ordinary child Sarah had. Actually, let me say this. When I read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Isaac, nothing remarkable is ever said about him. Many chapters, as I pointed out in some articles in the newsletter, many chapters are given to Abraham, many chapters are given to Jacob. But only a couple of chapters are given to Isaac. He seems to be ordinary in every way. Yeah, he was ordinary, maybe in some ways, but he wasn't ordinary because he was the child of promise. He wasn't ordinary because he had the promises. He wasn't ordinary because he had the blessings. So however ordinary, now none of us think our children are ordinary, am I right? No, not ours. Ours are exceptional. But in reality, no matter how ordinary our child may seem in some ways, they're not ordinary. Because we serve the Lord, and they have the promise, and they have the blessing, and God's blessing is on them. Amen? Jochebed. Oh, I love that lady. Married to Amram. At a time when the people of God were in slavery to the Pharaohs of Egypt. And Pharaoh had told all the midwives in Egypt. He said, now, Hebrew women are giving birth, if it's a boy, kill it right then and there. And if it's a girl, let it live. But they wouldn't do it. So finally he said, oh, well, he says, I'll tell you what, from now on, any male child that's born to the Hebrews, any male child, if you, as soon as you know they've got one, take it and throw it in the Nile River and drown it. And that is exactly the time, that is the last verse of chapter 1 of Exodus. And then the very next verse starts talking about Jochebed and Amram and this little baby, and he was such a cute and lively little thing, and she said, I'm just going to keep him and see what happens. This was a woman of bold faith. It took a lot of faith to do that, but she said, hey, this is a pretty child, and the Lord has given us this child, and if the Lord wants this child to live, he'll live. So I'm not going to give him up. I'm going to hide him and hit him for 3 months. But after 3 months, Moses' lungs had developed a little more, I guess. Anyway, it says she couldn't hide him anymore, and we know how she made the little basket and water sealed it and everything, and she did kind of keep the king's edict. She put him in the river. But no, she put him in the river, but in the little basket. And then we know the rest of that story. It would be 80 years before God's full plan would be unfolded and unveiled in Moses' life. He was 80 years old when God appears to him at the burning bush. And it's his last 40 years when all those wonderful things we read about happen. And I'm not sure Jochebed would have been around to see him. But what if she hadn't? What if she hadn't? Folks, we live in an atmosphere of fear today. There are a lot of people saying, don't have children. I've heard young couples say, I don't know if we want to have children because the world is such a terrible place now. I don't know. I don't know if you've heard anybody say that. I've heard people say that. We live in an atmosphere of fear today. And I'm here to tell you, In as servants of the Lord, as people who serve God, we're not to be bound by the spirit of fear. Can I hear an amen? We're not to allow that to have any dominion over us. And if God wants us to have children, let's have children. Why should we give the whole world over to the enemy? Let's raise up some godly offspring that can bring some deliverance to somebody somewhere. Amen. And it's time to live that way. Don't live in fear. Jochebed and Amram teach us a wonderful lesson. Times were bad. You think $3.69 a gallon gas is bad? Times were bad. But they said, we're going to have this child. And then we see what the Lord did. Praise God for Jochebed and Amram. They had vision. Hannah. Now, Hannah, oh, poor Hannah. This was back when polygamy was still, you know, the thing in Israel. The man, Elkanah, he was a godly man. He went up every year and took his two wives and spent about a week worshiping the Lord and all that, and he was a godly man. But she was in one of those marriages. And Peninnah, she could pop them out, you know, she could have those babies. She had several children. And Hannah couldn't have a child. And those were the times when if you weren't a mom, you weren't anything. You know, you could be treated good. She was treated good. Elkanah was good to her. He loved her. But and Peninnah was her antagonist. Peninnah never missed an opportunity to rub it in. How many have had a sibling and they never missed an opportunity to rub it in? Peninnah never missed an opportunity to rub it in. And then what should have been the most joyful occasion of the year when they went up to Shiloh to the house of the Lord, and it was a time of celebration and sacrificing to the Lord and all of that, was the saddest time because Peninnah would antagonize her all the way up there so that by the time they got up there, she didn't want to eat, she didn't have an appetite, she didn't want to do anything. And Elkanah would say, Hannah, what's wrong? And he would bring her a double portion. And she'd like, and this one day we know the story. She goes into the house of the Lord, which at that time was just a tent. And she goes in there and she's just praying and crying and praying and crying and praying. And she says, Lord, and I don't hear anything about her saying that, Peninnah, get her off my back. She's making my life miserable. I don't hear her say any of that. She says, Lord, if you'll just say no to me and give me a child, I'll give him back to you all of his days. And Eli, the man who ran the place there, big stout guy sitting in a chair, he saw her lips moving, but he didn't hear anything coming out, and he thought she had had too much to drink and got on her case. How dare you come in here like this? Oh, no, 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 she says, you got me wrong. I'm not drunk. She says, I'm just a woman in bitterness of soul, and I've been here pouring my heart out to the Lord. He said, well, in that case, may the Lord grant you what you've prayed for. And it wasn't but a few weeks, and guess what? Oh, and that day she was fine. She was fine. She wasn't sad anymore. She went and had her supper. Everything was cool. And a few weeks later, and then a couple years later, they bring little Samuel and bring him up there and put him in charge of Eli. Samuel grows up to be a great figure in Israel. He is the bridge between the judges and the kings. He is one who God uses to start bringing national revival and bringing the people of Israel back to the true worship of God after a time of great anarchy and such a blessing. And then later on, God continued. She would come up and see Samuel every year, but God blessed her, and she had three more sons and two daughters. She knew the power of prevailing prayer. And you all know how I talk about that an awful lot. But moms, your prayers are heard, and you need to be a praying mom, and don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. You just keep right on praying, because the Lord loves for moms to pray. He hears mama's prayers. I think they are special, and we don't know how many hundreds of thousands or millions of all nationalities and everything are going to be in heaven because they had a praying mama, and maybe for no other reason. So just keep right on praying, because God's going to hear those prayers. And then Mary, just a little peasant girl from Nazareth, in her teens more than likely. And Gabriel, is that pretty high up the scale? Gabriel is sent to tell her that she's going to be with child and all these wonderful things about this child. And she says, well, how's that? You know, I'm engaged, but I haven't had any contact with a man. So how is this going to be? The angel says, don't you worry. The Lord's power is just going to come on you, and what is born of you will be called the Son of God. And oh, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias, who's way up there in years and who has never been able to have a child, she's pregnant. In fact, she's in her sixth month. And because nothing will be impossible for God. So I think Gabriel probably told her that kind of as an encouragement to her own faith, you know? And what were Mary's words at that time? I am the Lord's handmaiden, be it unto me according to your word. Now it occurred to me that that's pretty much the sum total of the Christian life. That is pretty much the sum total of being in God's will, His purpose being worked out in us, whatever we receive of God. If we would just say, hey, I'm the Lord's, and by the way, she says doula, which is the female for doulos, which is slave, not the household hired servant. No, 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 no. Behold the Lord's handmaiden. Behold the Lord's slave. Be it unto me according to your word. And so she becomes about the most famous mother in all of history, even though she's just a little, basically uneducated peasant girl from an obscure town in Israel. But she's just so willing. And you know, Mary had to be special, didn't she? To be the mother of the Lord. And she, and we see her always involved in her son's life, but never domineering. The only time she kind of got in where she shouldn't have been was when he was just starting his ministry and they were at that wedding. And even then, she doesn't say it directly. She says, "They're out of wine." And Jesus gives her a mild rebuke. He says, "Lady, my time has not yet come." But then she says to them, "Whatever he says, you do it." But we see her, and we hear that one day she and Jesus' brothers and sisters were looking for him at a busy time during his ministry and a few things, and we know she was around at the cross, right? Because Jesus says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother," and he basically puts her into the custody of John. But do you know where is the last place we see Mary? And I think this is so fitting. In the upper room with the other 119 waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out. We never hear any more about her. But on that day, she experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and she was just one of the believers. Isn't that a great story? That's how she ends. She says, "I am the Lord's handmaiden, be it unto me according to your word." Now, moms, this is my closing word. The world has their mold, and the world is going to try to tell you what kind of mom you ought to be. And there are a lot of moms out there today running to and fro trying to meet the expectations of the world and what the world considers a successful mom or a super mom or whatever. Don't listen to them. Don't give in to it. You just be the mom that the Lord wants you to be, okay? And just say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm your servant. You just work through me any way you see fit." And he'll be the one that's pleased. And if the world is laughing at you because you don't do all the things they do, or you don't have exactly the same values they have or whatever, that's fine. Don't worry about it. But just be the mom the Lord wants you to be. Amen? And you think, if he's satisfied, is that enough? If the Lord is satisfied, then that's all that'll be required. And you'll be a blessing. But don't try to meet all the worldly expectations of what a mom ought to be. Because the world's never been right on these things. And God's word has always been right. Shall we pray?